As we sang about days filled with joy and expectation, isn't it a wonderful feeling to wake up on a Sunday morning and think about the fact that this is the Lord's Day, a day upon which we gather together with those with whom we share the same faith, the same hope, the same love, to worship the God who made us and so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son to die for us. It's a privilege to be with you and a pleasure for you to be with us. We encourage you to get your Bible open and to study with us from the pages of the Holy Book. I want to talk to us for just a few moments about the topic that's written on the board before you. Judgment Day surprises. If you'll take your Bible and come with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 7 and read a few lines, you'll learn about the fact that there are going to be some surprises folks will experience come Judgment Day. As the Lord comes to the close of His great mountain message, He proclaimed, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name have cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Those words kindly describe the shock that folks are going to experience in that day. What I'd like for us to do is call attention to some surprises that many will experience come Judgment Day. And I want us to be aware of these, lest they be a surprise to any of us. The first thing I want us to be impressed with is the fact that there are going to be a lot of people that are going to be surprised at the fact that there will be such a day. You know, the Bible emphasizes time and again that there's going to be a day of judgment. In the Old Testament, when Solomon set his heart to find out what was good for men to do under the sun, he lived life to the fullest, experienced lots of different things. And then he came to the grand conclusion in chapter 12 and verse 13. He said, "Fear God and keep His commandments." And then he gave the motivation for that. Why should I respect God and stand in awe of Him and keep His commandments? "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil." That's Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. As you come to the New Testament, the Scriptures indicate that there's going to be a day of judgment. When Paul preached in Athens, in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, he said, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Why does God command all to repent? Because He hath appointed, what's He appointed, Paul? A day. What's going to happen in that day, Paul? "In the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised him from the dead." And so the judgment day is an appointed day. And that's going to be a surprise to a lot of people, isn't it? But it ought not be a surprise to those of us who are familiar with the teachings of this book. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 27, when the Hebrew writer talked about death, he said, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this..." You ever wonder what's after death? After death, what then? The judgment. Just as surely as men die, the Bible teaches that there will be a day that men will be judged. And Jude talked about that as well in Jude and in verse 6, when he talked about the judgment day. And so as you make your list of judgment day surprises, the fact that there will be such a day will be a surprise to many. But a second surprise come the judgment day, I believe a lot of people are going to be surprised as to what standard is going to be used by which men are going to be judged. You know what that standard is going to be? in the book of John chapter 12 and in verse 48. Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him." What's that going to be, Lord? What's going to judge us? He said, "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." I believe a lot of people are going to be shocked when they stand before the judgment as to the standard by which they're going to be judged. You know, there's those who have a tendency to kind of do what's right in their own eyes. There are those who want to do what's been handed down to them through the years, follow tradition. There are those who want to go by the conscience, so they put their faith in men. But when you and I are judged, we're going to be judged by the Word of Christ. And since that's true, doesn't it make sense that I need to know it, that I ought to spend time reading it, that I ought to believe it, I ought to obey it, I ought to pattern my life after it? Because one of these days I'm going to be judged by what the Lord said. Paul penned these words to the Romans in chapter 2 and verse 16. He said, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ," now listen, "according to my gospel." We're going to be judged by the gospel of Christ. John was allowed to see the judgment. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15, he saw the small and great stand before God, and he said the books were opened. You know what those books are? The books of the Bible. And the dead were judged out of the things which are written in those books. You and I are going to face this book at the judgment. 39 in the old and 27 in the new. And those who lived under the old law are going to be judged according to things written in those books that they were expected to observe and to do. And you and I are going to be judged by whether or not we feared God and keep His commandments. And so the standard is this book that you hold in your hand. It's of God. It's divine in its origin. As all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. It tells you where you came from. The fact that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, Genesis 2:7. It tells you why you're here, to fear God and keep His commandments, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. And it tells you where you're going. And we're all going to the same place, aren't we? That's the judgment. And we need to prepare ourselves for that. We're going to meet God to give an account of our earthly deeds. And we're going to be judged by this book. If I tell you another thing that's going to surprise a lot of people come the judgment day, and that is they're going to be amazed and shocked at who the judge is going to be on that occasion. Do you know who's going to be the judge? Somebody says, God's going to judge us. The Bible teaches that Christ will be the judge. In fact, in John 5 and verse 22, the Bible says, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." It's always been true that God works through agency. He did that at the creation, didn't He? Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and how that all things were made by Him. John 1, 1 through 3. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, the Hebrew writer talked about the fact that God made all things through Christ. And so Christ was the agent through which God created all things. And that's true of divine revelation. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. And then the judgment. God will judge all men by Christ, through Christ. In Acts 10 and in verse 42, when Peter arrived at Cornelius' house, and he had a good audience, as he had folks who had come together to hear all things commanded thee of God. And among the things that Peter preached at Cornelius' house is the fact that Christ was ordained of God, that is, appointed by God, to be the judge of quick and dead, that is, of those who are alive and those who are dead. And in Romans 2:16, you remember, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, by who? By Jesus Christ. Christ will be the judge, and His judgment will be just. He'll not show any favoritism or partiality. It's not that in the case with some judgments that take place in this life where the guilty are set free and the innocent convicted. The judge of all the earth will do that which is right. In fact, 2 Timothy 4, 1, when Paul charged Timothy and all future generations of preachers to preach the word, he issued that charge before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge. And then he said in verse 8, the righteous judge. And so, don't be surprised at the fact that Jesus will be the judge. You know, today he's your Savior. But at that day, he'll be your judge. There's a little story, perhaps you've heard it, about a boy that was drowning, and a fellow saw him and came to him, and he saved him from his drowning. Several years later, that boy got into some trouble, and he went before the judge, and the judge that he appeared before was the same man that saved him. Found him in the water, drowning. And when the verdict came down, he said, guilty. And he appealed to the judge. He said, wait a minute. He said, remember back years ago when I was drowning, you saved me. He said, save me from this penalty. He said, then I was your Savior. Today I'm your judge. And that's the way it will work with the Lord. Today he is your Savior. One of these days, he's going to be our judge. And we need to recognize the fact that he is our Savior. In Matthew 1 and verse 21, it is said of Mary, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And in Luke 2 and verse 11, how a Savior is born this day in the city of David. Who is that Savior? Christ the Lord. And thanks be to God that he's given us such a wonderful Savior. And the plan whereby we can be saved has been clearly revealed, which involves hearing the word of Christ, believing it with all of our heart, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith in the Son of God, and being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. Today, he'll be your Savior if you'll come to him, believe on him, and obey him. And then one of these days, we'll stand before him. He'll be our judge. And based upon whether or not we've been faithful in ordering our lives and preparing for this occasion, we'll either hear him say, enter or depart. He'll be our judge. And so don't be surprised when we appear before Christ to be judged. I think another thing that's going to surprise a lot of people come judgment day is the fact that this judgment is going to be worldwide in its scope. That is, every person who's ever lived is going to be there. The judgment's going to bring about the greatest crowd of people that has ever been assembled. What's the largest crowd you've ever been in? Maybe you've attended a sporting event somewhere, and the stadium was filled with people. That's going to pale in comparison to the judgment. You know who's going to be there? Everybody. You begin to add up all the people who've ever lived, going all the way back to Adam. That's a lot of people, isn't it? Everybody, every man, woman, boy, and girl is going to be there. In fact, the Lord pictured that in Matthew 25. We have a glimpse of the judgment scene. And in verse 31, he said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered. Who's going to be gathered before him, Lord? All nations. All nations. You might underscore that in your Bible. And in the words of Paul to the Corinthian church, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, he said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Do you know anybody that leave out? If you think some way you can escape the judgment of God, you need to think again. Because all includes you and includes me. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised at the fact that it's going to be worldwide. Another thing that's going to surprise a lot of people, no doubt, is the fact that the judgment is going to be individual in its nature. We're not going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ as a church. It's not that the Lord's going to say, okay, now the church of Christ at Terre Haute come up and we're going to all be judged together. It's not going to work that way. Or it's not that we're going to appear before the judge as a family. Okay, now the Edwards family come up. Now the Washington family. Now the Warfel family. It doesn't work that way. But the judgment's going to be individual. And I think that needs to be stressed. It may be that here's a fella that he's a member of the church and he's faithful, but his wife's not a member, not a Christian. And she might get to thinking, well, my husband's a good man and he's done a lot of good and he's a member of the church and I just kind of go in with him. Or maybe somebody thinks that another way. My wife, she's a good lady and she's been a good person and she's a member of the church and every time the doors of the building are open, you can count on her to be there. And though I've not become a Christian, I'm not a member of the church, I think I'll just go in with her. It don't work that way, does it? The judgment's going to be individual in that every man is accountable for his own doing. In Romans chapter 14 and in verse 12, when Paul wrote the church at Rome, he penned these words, "So then every one of us shall give account of who? Himself." You have to underscore that. Himself to God. I think the fact that every one of us shall give account of himself to God is going to be a surprise to a lot of people. The individuality of the judgment is going to surprise people, isn't it? And the fact that there is a God and that we're accountable to God is going to surprise people. You know, there are those who try to put God out of their mind. Kind of like those of whom Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. We got a lot of people in the world that think there is no God. They're atheists. Sometimes they're called free thinkers. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 14:1 and 51:1 that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's a lot of evidence that supports the fact that God is. In fact, Paul, when he preached to those in Athens, he said that it's in God that we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28. If you don't think there's a God, try living. Try moving. Try being without him. There's a God. Look around you. Look at the world. Look at the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalm 19:1. Look up in the clear night sky and see the beautiful stars and the moon and watch the trees turn their colors. Look at the green grass and tell me there's no God. All of that just kind of happened by accident. Folks will be in for a rude awakening come the judgment who think there is no God. When every man shall give account of himself to God. And there are those who think, I'm not accountable to anybody. And I'm just going to do as I please. If I want to do this, I'm going to do it. If I want to go there, I'm going to go there. I'm not accountable. I'm not answerable. The Bible says, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And you'll not be able to do that for me. I can't give an account for you. It's all individual. There'll be no proxies at the judgment. As Paul said, everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done. 2 Corinthians 5. And then verse 10. And so I need to think about those questions, those great questions that were asked by men in New Testament days. Like Saul as he lay trembling on the Damascus road, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Acts 9 and 6. And the jailer in Acts 16, 30 and 31, he said, what must I do to be saved? Recognizing the fact that the judgment will be individual, I need to know what it is the Lord would have me to do. And not delay, not put that off. Or try to excuse myself from my personal responsibilities on the basis of what others may or may not be doing. So I say, well, my husband's not, or my family's not, or my parents, it all gets down to me. It gets down to I. What must I do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? See, here is water. What doth hinder me? to be baptized in light of the fact that I'm going to be judged individually. It kind of puts in a perspective our personal responsibilities. And I need to make sure that I'm what I ought to be, regardless of what others may or may not be doing. I think that's going to surprise a lot of people, don't you? The fact that the judgment is going to be individual in nature. There's one other I want to share with you. And that is when you make a list of some judgment day surprises. I believe that a lot of people are going to be surprised as to the rewards that are going to be given out in that day. You know, Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 27, the Lord talked about the fact that He's going to reward every man. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward a few people, and He's going to come back again and reward others. Is that what it says? You know, premillennialists think that there's going to be a 1,000-year reign, and they have different resurrections and judgment taking place at different times for different people. But notice the Bible says then, that is when the Lord comes, He shall reward every man according to his works. That destroys this false notion or system known as premillennialism. At the Lord's coming, He's going to reward every man. The reward's going to be according to his works. That's how it was portrayed in Matthew 25. As He talks about those that found Him hungry and gave Him meat, thirsty, gave Him drink. And they said, "When saw we thee?" And He said, "Inasmuch as ye did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye did it to me." And then on the other hand, those that didn't do. And they said, "When saw we thee?" And came not to thee, ministered not. And He said, "Inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not to me." And so it shows that they're being judged according to their doings, according to their activities. And that was true also in Revelation 20, in verses 12 through 15. Judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Brings up a little question. Is your name written there? Is your name written on the page, bright and fair, as we sing about? You know, there are a lot of places your name may be written or recorded. What about where it really matters? Is it written in the book of life? And the question is, how do I get my name enrolled in that book? I do that through obedience to the gospel. As I hear it, believe it, and obey it, and repenting of my sins, confessing as the Ethiopian, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins, and live faithful unto death, I can face the judgment with confidence, knowing my name is written there. And the Lord described this reward in the last verse of Matthew 25, that judgment seat. He said, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." That's the reward that's in store at the judgment. Either life eternal or everlasting punishment. And however long one is, that's how long the other is. However long life's going to last, however long heaven will endure, that's how long the punishment is going to last. And so we'll either hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Or depart from me. I never knew you." And that's going to surprise a lot of people. It's going to surprise a lot of people the fact that there is a hell. Some think that God's too good, too loving, that He'd not send anybody to a place of torment. But the Lord said, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment. Depart from me, I never knew you." Cursed. Into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So there's going to be a lot of surprises, aren't there, at the judgment. Some folks are going to be surprised that there will be such a day. They'll be surprised at the standard that will be used in administering the judgment. They're going to be surprised as to who the judge is going to be. They'll be surprised at the fact that it's going to be worldwide in scope and that everybody's going to be there. They'll be surprised at the fact that it's individual. And they'll be surprised as to the reward that'll be given. And basically, that's what will happen at the judgment. It'll be the giving of the reward, either guilty or innocent, enter or depart. We're going to sing a little song to invite you to render obedience to the gospel, that you might make preparations for this day, lest it come upon you by surprise. There's a great day coming. Are you ready for that day? Should we appear before the judgment today? Would you be surprised? It ought not come as a surprise. We ought to expect it. We ought to know it's coming. And should this time find you unprepared, in the words of Amos, prepare to meet thy God. And you can do that today if you've not obeyed the gospel, if you've not become a Christian, to obey the gospel. Do you believe? Are you willing to repent of your sins, to make some changes in your life? Would you confess before men today your faith in Christ? We'll take you to a place of water, and everything's ready. You don't have to bring a thing. There's clothing, there's everything you need, towels, that you might be baptized into Jesus Christ for remission of your sins. And then be faithful unto the coming of that day. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel, but you've not been faithful. And you recognize that should the judgment be today, I'm not ready. It ought to be a terrifying thing to think that I could stand before the judge and give an account, and I'm not ready. And so we plead with you. Prepare yourself by repenting of whatever it is that you've been doing this wrong. Quit doing that. Do what's right. Confess your sins unto God. And as the Lord said, He is faithful and just to forgive us. 1 John 1 and in verse 9. If we can assist you in making preparations for that great day, won't you come now as we stand and